Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Secondhand Therapy is presented by Pony Bear Studios. For ad-free episodes, head on over to patreon.com/secondhandtherapypod.
Hello, my little bear cubs, and welcome back to another episode of Secondhand Therapy. You're not on Patreon, and I got to tell you, you just missed a banger of an intro over there. I told you a story. Something happened to me at the gym and involved another man who had his penis out. Now, if you want to hear that story, head on over to Patreon. It's in the intro. Because the intros, we don't have to tell them about the ads and stuff. So we just tell stories over there.
Yeah.
Now, we need to remind you that we're not therapists. We're not experts. This is not a substitute for therapy. And this is not professional advice in any way. Please go to Patreon. One of the things you will get from that is no ads. You're going to hear ads.
Ad-free episodes.
Also, I got the green light from Psychic Source. We can recommend specific psychics.
Ooh.
So the people that fucked us up, we can actually give out their extensions now.
Nice.
Not doing it yet. I'll do it on Patreon.
We'll do it on Patreon. Those files will get leaked on Patreon.
Yeah. So thanks, guys, for being here. We appreciate you. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/secondhandtherapypod. As we said, you get ad-free episodes, you get early episodes. Like I've explained very recently before, you do get an RSS feed, which sounds complicated, but it is not. What that means is your episodes will show up wherever you currently listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever. Or you can listen to them on the Patreon app, up to you. You can also support the pod via merchandise.
That's right.
Lately, we are a hat store. The Autistic Maybe hats and the Good Friend hat are moving. Secondhandtherapypod.com. You can also go to vasectomyfarms.com. We donate a portion of all of that to women's reproductive resources. Do you want to tell them that they can contact us?
About the what?
They can contact us?
Yes, of course. You can contact us. There is a P.O. box. You can actually send us physical mail, which we love. You can send us recipes or Polaroids and cool stuff. Or you can send us digital mail, which means you can send us little text messages or voice notes. And sometimes we read them on air.
I don't know why you say that. We haven't read one on air in a year.
That's not true.
All right. I need to say something.
Okay.
We cannot and will not respond to messages asking for advice, or that imply any type of mental health crisis.
That's right.
That doesn't stop people, but just to be clear.
Right. We're also not going to send out our birth charts. Oh, that's in the other intro. Hey, if you're on Patreon, that joke makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. Play the music now. You know how I keep telling you I'm doing a psychology class? Doing it.
Are you really?
I'm really doing it, dude. Our new sponsor, Southern New Hampshire University.
Fancy.
Some classes, bro.
Oh, you fancy now.
Bruh, I'm out here.
He's a schoolboy.
Hey, and here's the thing. If you're like me and you're just like, dude, I like learning stuff sometimes. SNHU, go learn some stuff. If you were like me in the past, maybe you feel a little stuck in your career. You want to start a new thing. SNHU. What about you?
I mean, I love to learn.
Oh, God. He's never learned
To do, I need to do it more officially.
Anyway, if you want to check out SNHU and you want to see what kind of programs they have, You can go to snhu.edu/SHT and you can request more information. It costs nothing to request more information. It's a great way to support the podcast. Learn some stuff. Start a new career. Do whatever you need.
Go back to school.
snhu.edu/SHT. There's also a link in the episode description. Get some info. Start some learning. You're welcome. If you're interested in having the best time of your life, you should go ahead and check out our new sponsor, Psychic Source.
Oh, buddy, I cannot wait.
Dude.
I'm trying to talk to dead people. Do they do that?
They do mediums. They got mediums.
All right. I'll take a large medium.
All right. So here's the thing. Daddy already did it. Okay. Now, here's the thing. If you want to talk to a psychic, and trust me, you do. Here's what you do. You go to trypsychicsource.com/SHT10. Okay. You're going to get 40 minutes. 40 minutes for $19.80. Now, you don't have to use all 40 minutes with one person. I didn't. Oh. I did 20 with, and look, mind your business. Talking about my love life.
Okay, all right.
Talking about my love life.
Trying to see some road bumps ahead.
Just seeing if it's going to be clear skies, and it's not. Now, I did the other 20 on just like a spiritual thing. See where I'm at. Let me guess. You're going to do a medium?
Oh my God, I can't wait.
All right. Well, if you want to talk to a psychic, you can do that. Again, trypsychicsource.com/SHT10. You get 40 minutes for under $20. Do it. And then DM us because I want to hear how it went.
Oh, I can't. Please DM us.
Oh God, it's so much fun.
I want the tea.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, my little bear cubs, and welcome back.
Secondhand Therapy.
And we know that.
I had homework to do last week. You know what we started doing? We started doing homework every week. I told him, I was like, I need...
Define we.
My therapist and I.
You do it together?
No. He gives me homework to do.
All right.
I do it.
You do it?
Yeah, I do it every week.
Are you lying to me?
No.
All right, tell me about it.
I do it every week.
Okay.
My homework a couple weeks ago? Look into Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
Hey.
Yeah.
How much are those kids? I wanted to buy one. Are they kids?
I told King Garo sign up for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and he goes, "You're gonna get a big brother."
Good.
Shout out King Garo.
Did you like that joke better or my joke better about buying the kids?
His joke.
Why?
You know,
offensive.
Yes.
Offensive things aside,
you
liked his better.
That's
still
offensive.
But mine wasn't deprecating to you.
Yeah.
You like the deprecating to you ones better.
Of course I do.
All right.
Not from you, because you go for the throat.
What?
Mm-hmm. You keep it objective. I'd like that. Thank you.
Keep it objective.
All right. Anyways, my homework.
I'm on fire now. I'm just kidding. All right, go ahead.
My homework was to, let me start here.
Here we go.
We've been trying to work on self-discovery and things like that. That's what we've been working on.
Uh-huh.
And so my homework was to look at the traits that I have gotten from my parents, and how has that shaped me and who I am?
Okay.
And when I first started making this list, it was all negative things.
Mm. So you're being honest. That's good.
Yeah. I was like, oh, addiction and, you know, worrisome and, you know,
what
anxiety.
Addiction did you get from your parents?
What do you mean?
Didn't you just say addiction?
Yeah. I have addictive nature for sure. My father was an addict.
No, I know that. How do you see it come out in you?
I'm just saying these are the traits that I see in my parents. That's what we started with. The traits, okay. Yeah, and what trickles down. And yeah, I definitely think there's addiction with me. Yeah, for sure.
Where do you see that? Again. Where do you see that come out?
I've seen it multiple times in my life. You know, it's like a mixture of hyperfixation and addiction. Yeah. I mean, definitely with the weed there for a little while. Like, man, I was... Yeah. But that was also a little bit of depression. Just a splash of depression in there, too.
Mm.
But yeah, I have addictive personality.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anxiety, you know, all these things. And then I was trying to think of positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And my humor came up. And what I linked together were two similarities that my parents had, but were very different. And it started with humor. Because when I thought about it, I was like, oh, I get my humor from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, also, my dad was really funny. But they were two different types of funny. Like, my mother was like...
You have memories of your dad being funny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My mother was like... She was like socially funny. She knew how to tell a joke or a story. She would make funny faces. She was like a lot of gestures and actions, you know, like my mother was very socially funny. And then my father was very dry and very sarcastic and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I have both of those. And then I started looking at their lives. And the other connection I made, they both wanted to escape and couldn't figure out how. And it was at different points in their life. Like, they both wanted their lives to be very different, but at different times. And I've talked about it in the episodes. I talk about my father, about him trying to get out of town and like trying to figure it out and not wanting to be a factory worker and like all those things. But that was when my father was in his like 20s and 30s, was trying to figure out, you know, a different way. And then when my mother was in her 60s, she was trying to figure out how she could change her life drastically and start over and get out of that town. And, you know, my mother had a lot of guilt and resentment towards, I think, I know grandma and I know herself, and I think with my aunt a little bit too, her sister, because she always felt like she got stuck there taking care of grandma.
Mm.
And so there for the longest time, you know, she felt like she couldn't leave. And she had this disease that, you know, she had alpha 1, which is like a lung disease. And so she had like this ticking clock that was already happening with her health. Like, eventually she would be on a machine that helps her breathe full time. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, that was just her path. And she knew that. And she, I think in her 60s, you know, with my stepfather and everything, she was like, okay, how do I have a life with him that doesn't involve my mother, you know, my grandmother?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the last few times I saw my mother, we had talked about her escaping. We had talked about her starting over and like going down to like Tennessee or something like that. And like, but she was waiting for something to happen with grandma first.
Mm.
So yeah, it was just interesting to see these parallels in my parents that I hadn't noticed before, because I always thought of them as being so different. You know, my father being, you know, with his struggles with addiction and like this kind of like brooding man and womanizer and, you know, all these things. And then my mother, who was so giving and funny and people pleasing and, you know, like they couldn't be more opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they shared all these things, you know, these desires at different times. And then my therapist hit me with, do you feel trapped? And I was like, yeah, but in different ways. And it was, I feel trapped in the way that the way I see my life in my mind or how I envision my life is very different than how it's playing out. And I don't know. I know how to, I know what I need to do, but it's, I don't know. It's something I've struggled with my whole, not my whole life. I think it's like post giving up stand up. I think like this start over thing. I just view my life very differently in my head.
Well, how do you view it? I don't understand.
Like, being more social, traveling more, doing those things. But the things that hold me back are like my relationship with money. Also, shame is in there a lot. Guilt is mixed in there. Like we were unpacking it a little bit. And he was like, yeah, what is stopping you? What's going on here? And I was like, yeah, well, there's obviously the financial anxiety because I don't have a great relationship with money, which I am working on, but it's still not great. And it's very hard for me to spend money. And so even when I think about like, getting away for the weekend, like, oh, I'm gonna go to Dallas and see my buddy, and it's like, oh really, do you have $1,000 to do that? And it's like, no. Okay, then you're gonna sit here. And it's like, all right. Or even going to LA for the weekend or something like that, like all of that takes money, and it's hard for me to spend money on myself in those ways.
I don't agree with that.
Why?
You spend money a lot.
Yeah, I'll buy a hat or something here and there, but I'm not going on a trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. So like a $25 hat is very different than a $500 or $600 weekend somewhere.
Sure, but you eat out a lot.
Sure.
You go thrifting a lot. You spend money a lot in small chunks.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I do. I think you spend a lot of money. I think you, it's my perspective is it's hard for you to spend what you view as big chunks of money.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, we talk about, you look at your credit card, you're like, how did I spend this much money on food?
Yeah.
So I think you do. It just for you probably feels different.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah, because the bigger expenses feel like, I mean, it's special occasion.
Meaning what?
Meaning like it has to be like really, really special or work related for me to go. Or else what you can't, yeah, I don't have that money. Because it goes hand in hand with the guilt and the shame, right? So the guilt and the shame side of it is all of the work and the things that I have to do or want to do here stops me from even thinking about getting away. So I'm like, okay, I got a free weekend coming up. Man, I'd love to, I'll go to Dallas and see my buddy. So I'll do that. And I found some cheap flights. I'll do all that. Well, it gets to that point where I'm okay with spending the money on flights or whatever the fuck, you know? Great. I'm going to go there. No problem. And then I start thinking, well, you know, you got this editing thing to do, or you got this the other thing, or like you should be working on that. It's like, yeah, I should do that. And then there's also the pressures of like, what will other people think is what I fight alongside that too. Like, even when it comes to you and I, where I'm like, I'm going to tell Lou I'm going to go away for the weekend. Like, he's going to be like, buddy, you know, I was like, in my head, you're going to be like, oh, going away. It must be nice, or whatever the fuck you think. You know what I mean? Like, I battle that, you know? And even in a good way, like, again, this is the fighting of commisery too. Even if a friend were to call, you know, let's say, since we talked about him earlier, let's say Ken Gar calls me up. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you going to do? I'm going to Dallas this weekend. I'm afraid there's going to be some kind of judgment there or something about being like, I don't know. I'm fighting against a lot of these things that aren't even real. Mm-hmm. And I know the logically, I know that. Emotionally, very real. These people are going to be upset with me. They know that I have work to do. They know that I don't have the money to do this. They know, like, so they're going to look at me and be like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Mm. You're going away for the weekend? No, bud. And so then I just stay home. And even on the weekends where I'm not even like envisioning a getaway, I have trouble finding and committing to things that I want to do. Hey, I got a free Saturday night. What are we getting into, man? And then I think about every single thing I could be doing, and then I end up doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I'm upset with myself because I'm like, yeah, cool, man. Sat at home last night. Way to go, dude. You know what I mean? Like, the fuck are we doing? So in my head, though, the version of me, the life that I have in my, what I see in my head is I am doing those things. I am being social. I am going out on a Saturday night just in town here or whatever. I'm taking the bike out, or I'm going on a trip for the weekend or whatever to see some friends or to, you know, do whatever. Like, that is the life that I want. So I feel trapped in those ways of like trying to overcome, again, these things that aren't even real.
So it's like, who's setting the trap?
Me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel trapped. Bitch, the door is not locked.
I know.
Kick it open.
I know.
Interesting.
Yeah. You don't have any of that.
Nah. But I don't have a problem with accountability.
What does that have to do with accountability?
If I'm home on a Saturday night and I feel like getting out and I see all the things and I don't go.
Yeah.
I have no problem being like, oh, you really got in your own way on that one, huh?
Huh. Mm.
And then I can let it go.
Mm. Yeah, I'm okay with the first part. It's the second part, the letting go.
Yeah.
It really lingers.
Mm.
Yeah, and then it just, and it also, and then it adds up, because it just keeps happening, and then it's like.
Yeah, why does it keep happening, though?
Yeah, because, you know, I just told you.
Yeah.
In my own way.
I know.
I also know.
Yeah, so does your therapist, like, what do you guys do to change it?
We'll be right back with more Secondhand Therapy. Hang tight. I know we talk about BetterHelp a lot on this show, but now they're a sponsor.
They are a sponsor, dude.
I'm using BetterHelp. I'm loving it so far. It's so easy to find a therapist, find out what I'm looking for. And if it's not working out, because that has happened, I've been able to switch therapist with no problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you had that one that was not a good fit before.
It was not a good fit. Hey, and that happens. Finding good therapist is like a lot like finding, you know, being out there in the dating world and finding the right partner for mm-hmm. you.
And you're married now.
Oh, no. You're in love. Never.
You're in love now.
I have to talk about this with my therapist.
Dude, you're there. Can I meet this person? I don't even know their gender. Can I meet this person?
Absolutely not.
Let's do one together.
Well, we should sign up for couples therapy on BetterHelp.
I'll do it. You think I won't do it? You think I won't win couples therapy with you, dude?
No.
You think I'm not gonna walk out with the trophy? A couples therapy?
I know you will.
All right, here's the good news. They really are a sponsor, and if you have wanted to get in therapy and maybe you don't know where to start, maybe you don't have insurance like us, you can go to BetterHelp. They were nice enough to give us a discount. So if you hear this, you can go to betterhelp.com/secondhandtherapy, and you will get 10% off your first month. There's a link below the episode. Starting therapy, it helps. It really helps. No matter what you want to work on, give it a shot. BetterHelp.com/secondhandtherapy. We love you.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Guys.
Well, the homework this week is to make a list of things, to be doing the research up front so it's not so overwhelming to make decisions. So my homework this week is to look at things that I think that I would be interested in. When I do have those moments of being like, I want to go somewhere or I want to do something. Well,
so what are some of the things you think you might be interested in?
There's this art museum here in town that I'd like to go to.
Okay. I'm going to start over. That's not an art museum or a thrift.
Well, those are things that I like.
Yeah. That's two things.
Well, okay. I named one. You asked me what I had on my list.
I'm asking outside of an art thing or a thrifting thing.
Yes.
What you got?
I'd like to go to the Grand Canyon.
On a Saturday night?
No, I'm just saying in general, like, what do you want from me? I'm telling you
thought the list was like for when you're at home on a Saturday, so you like don't regret it the next day. I thought you're supposed to have a list of like, okay, here's the things I've researched.
Yes, and it's also the other things as well. Like if I have a weekend free or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a couple bars here that I like that I want to go to. They do a month or a weekly jazz night outdoors here in a park. Stuff like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
It was confusing for me to hear that you said these bars I want to check out that I like. I'm like, do you like them or do you want to check them out?
I've been there, but I'd like to go hang.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Any new things that you're actually, because it sounded like the homework was to find new things to research.
No, the thing was just to find things.
So what do you research if you've already been to all of them?
Yeah, but the problem is when Saturday night comes, then I'm doing the research and trying to make a decision at the same time. And I get overwhelmed.
What research are you doing?
Trying to figure out, like, hey, is there a band playing tonight? Is that bar open that I like? Is there an art museum happening this late? Is this happening? Like, all of that. And then I get overloaded, and then I do nothing.
Oh.
So now I can just look at a list and be like, oh, yeah. There's that place, or there's this the fucking new pizza place in town, or whatever the fuck. Like, oh, yeah, there's that place. I'm going to do that. Instead of trying to narrow it down and make a decision. You don't understand? That's how my brain works. So
no, I just don't understand how that's going to help at all.
Yeah, because you don't understand. Okay, so, and you're going to hate this. Mm-hmm. With ADHD, I'm always thinking of all the steps. And so when I'm thinking of all the steps and doing the research, I'm getting way overloaded. So when I think about, hey, I want to go to that bar that I went to that one time and it was really cool.
Yeah.
Now I'm going, yeah, I wonder if they have music tonight. I bet they do have music tonight. I heard they did. Well, they might not have it. They might have something going on.
I understand all that.
Yeah. And then,
so what research are you doing that you're going to write it down so you know all of that?
Yeah. So I'll know, like, hey, they do live music on Friday nights at 9 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Now I know that. This place, the jazz is happening on Thursday nights at this park. Cool. Now I know that. Instead of being like, I think that place is doing jazz tonight. When is that? Is that monthly? Is that weekly? And then I got to look that up. I'm like, oh, shit, that started at 4. Fuck, I didn't know that. I wish I would have known. I already know. I can look at the list. Oh, yeah.
All right.
My jazz thing's happening at 5. I got to go.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense to you?
Nah, I don't think it's going to help at all. I don't.
You don't think it's going to help to have some of these answers already answered?
No, because then you have a list of 10 things and you're going to go, oh, God, what do I want? I've seen you try to make decisions. It's hard for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
What? So what?
I don't have an answer.
Oh, okay. I was like, all right. So what's the answer?
This homework just sounds like, hey, go look at a wall for a little bit. Tight. I hope it helps. I don't understand why it would, knowing you.
Yeah.
But hey, I have a observation reflection that I do not think you're going to like.
Okay.
You're talking about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know about her.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. And how, as she got older, she kind of wanted, you said, like, maybe move down to Tennessee and things like that. But she didn't because your grandma, her mom.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
She just thought that she had to be around to take care of her.
But your grandma's also one of the most independent, stubborn people.
Yeah, but she would also go to the hospital 8 times a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
my reflection and observation was, you and your mom kind of always have a reason to not do something new.
Mm. I know you think that I don't do new things. I do new things. I think you can just say, do something. Or you always have a reason not to do something.
Oh, no, I think it's new things. That's my opinion.
I went to a new place last night and
congratulations.
Did a new thing.
That's great.
So...
Did you go by yourself or did somebody have to?
Somebody invited me. But it still counts as something new.
I'm not saying it doesn't. Okay. We've talked about this all the time. Like, if it's a new restaurant, mm-hmm. like, someone has to tell you, I went here, it was good.
Yeah.
Like, or, oh, I went here. Like, you have to be told where to go.
Yeah, that's part of my issue is I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. So then when you, the list, it's all like, okay, I like this place, but what night is music? It's all stuff you've already done.
There's new stuff on that list too. You were just asking me, like for examples, and I was just giving you whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't view you as having problem doing things. I view you as having problems doing new things. Like you'll go get a burger or go thrifting or go get a donut.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So I don't.
I wonder if that's a safety thing.
Oh, do you think
I'm?
Do you think you're terrified of everything new? What conversation did you think we were having?
I'm not terrified of new things.
When you're ready to be honest with both of us, you let me know, and then we can start over.
Am I terrified of new things?
Are you? What do you think, Michael? Let's explore that.
I'm being for real. I know that I'm hesitant a lot of times.
Why? Why do you think you're hesitant?
But I would say that more times out of none, I will actually do the thing.
Okay.
So for me, I don't look at myself as adventurous because I feel like that means that I'm seeking it out or that I'm doing it on my own or that I am like, no questions asked. Like, you're like, hey, try this thing. And I'm like, yep. Or whatever.
Take food out of it.
Well, yeah, just anything. I'm just saying like, hey, do you want to go do this thing? And it's like, I have questions. But
I have a question.
Yeah, but more time. But let me just finish this. But more times than not, I will do the thing. I just have questions first.
Mm. So you wouldn't say that you're adventurous?
No, but yeah, no.
But it sounds like the way you envision your life is adventurous.
I would say social more than adventurous. Yeah. I like, and you're going to say this is codependency. I like the energy of others. I grew up, my house was the hang. We always, you know, I grew up in groups of people. Like, I miss that in my life. I miss having, that's what I miss about tour. I don't miss the shows. I miss the green room hangs. I miss seeing friends in different cities. I miss that part of it. Like, that's what I miss.
Do you like spending so time with yourself yet?
Sometimes.
That's good.
Yeah. But
that's a lie.
But I do get energy from others and I do like it. And I am a social person. And I wish my life was more social, not more adventurous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the struggle with it being more social? It's the overwhelm of.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause even then, like as social as I am or want to be, I am a wallflower. And we've talked about that before. Like I am going to go to this cool bar that's playing music and I'm not going to fucking talk to anybody. And that's something I need to overcome and work on as well.
So how does the list help?
The list just gets me out there. The list just is step one. The list gets me out of the house instead of me sitting there or sitting here at home being like, wish I was doing something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But you could, couldn't you just, that's not a good way to phrase it.
Couldn't you just leave the house?
No, I was going to say, well, if you're going to be at home, what's the difference between going out to a bar that has live music and being a wallflower? Why is that better than staying home and FaceTiming a friend?
I don't know.
All right.
Getting out in the world?
But if it's about social and energy, what does it matter the location? If you can have a FaceTime with someone you're connected with and you know you enjoy.
Yeah. I feel like maybe it's just a time and a place. I can do that anytime. And like, I don't know. I don't want to do that on a Saturday night. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something. I want to be out in the world.
Why? What does the day and time matter?
Because that's when everybody else is out in the world. You know what I mean? Things are happening.
That's when some things are happening.
Sure.
Things are happening all the time, all day.
Sure. But the odds of something, the odds of live music happening on a Tuesday at that bar versus a Saturday at the bar are very different. So like, I'll go on the Saturday when they're having live music and it's like a social thing and there's more people there and whatever.
All right.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to you.
If the objective is to see live music at that bar, odds are better on a Saturday.
Yeah. Sure.
If the objective is to be out in the world and exist amongst others, anytime you're awake, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I wonder if two things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. One, if you're being honest with yourself.
Mm.
And two, if you actually know what you want.
Mm. What would I be honest with myself? What am I not being honest with myself about? Like the intention behind going out?
Yeah.
What else would it be? I don't want to be alone.
I think my guess would be you find a lot of value in the appearance of having a life, quote, worth living. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my honest guess, is that you then have those things to post about or talk about, or you have a funny story, or, you know.
Hmm. I think you're right about half of that. I don't care about the appearance of it. I want a life worth living. And I don't know, maybe it's a thing too, where things just feel slower too, since I haven't been touring. You know, I'm so used to being in motion that I miss being in motion or feeling that motion sometimes.
So what makes a life worth living?
I think kind of what you touched on, like community and stories and experiences. I think all those things make a life worth living.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck finding your life, man.
Thanks,
I hope,
man.
You get it.
Thanks.
How you feeling?
A little misunderstood. Not much.
I don't think I'm understanding you well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also don't feel like you're believing me when I say that I miss the community and I miss the being in motion and stuff. I think you don't believe that. You think it's all about, like, you want something to post on Instagram. I'm like, that wasn't even on my mind.
I don't think it's that I don't believe you. Like I said, I don't think you're being honest with yourself. Because a lot of things you described, there's not a lot of community in it. There's attention. And there's making people laugh and laughing at their things. Like, there's a lot of, attention in it. I don't think there's a lot of community in it.
Mm.
But we also are very different people who live very different lives with very different aspirations. So maybe my idea of community is vastly different than yours.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more Secondhand Therapy after this. If you're interested in having the best time of your life, you should go ahead and check out our new sponsor, Psychic Source.
Oh, buddy, I cannot wait.
Dude.
I'm trying to talk to dead people. Do they do that?
They do mediums. They got mediums.
All right. I'll take a large medium.
All right. So here's the thing. Daddy already did it.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you want to talk to a psychic, and trust me, you do. Here's what you do. You go to trypsychicsource.com/SHT10. Okay? You're going to get 40 minutes. 40 minutes for $19.80. Now, you don't have to use all 40 minutes with one person. I didn't.
Oh.
I did 20 with. And look, mind your business. Talking about my love life.
Okay, all right.
Talking about my love life.
Trying to see some road bumps ahead.
Just seeing if it's going to be clear skies, and it's not. Now, I did the other 20 on just like a spiritual thing.
Mm.
See where I'm at. Let me guess, you're going to do a medium?
Oh my God, I can't wait.
All right. Well, if you want to talk to a psychic, you can do that. Again, try psychicsource.com/SHT10. You get 40 minutes for under $20. Do it. And then DM us, because I want to hear how it went.
Oh, I can't. Please DM us.
Oh, God, it's so much fun.
I want the tea. I know we talk about BetterHelp a lot on this show, but now they're a sponsor.
They are a sponsor, dude.
I'm using BetterHelp. I'm loving it so far. It's so easy to find a therapist, find out what I'm looking for. And if it's not working out, because that has happened, I've been able to switch therapists with no problem at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you had that one that was not a good fit before.
It was not a good fit. Hey, and that happens. Finding good therapists is like a lot like finding, you know, being out there in the dating world and finding the right partner for you.
And you're married now.
Oh no.
You're in love.
Never.
You're in love now.
I have to talk about this with my therapist.
Dude, your therapist. Can I meet this person? I don't even know their gender. Can I meet this person?
Absolutely not.
Let's do one together.
Well, we should sign up for couples therapy on BetterHelp.
I'll do it. You think I won't do it? You think I won't win couples therapy with you, dude?
No.
You think I'm not going to walk out with the trophy? A couples therapy?
I know you will.
All right. Here's the good news. They really are a sponsor. And if you have wanted to get in therapy and maybe you don't know where to start, maybe you don't have insurance like us, you can go to BetterHelp. They were nice enough to give us a discount. So if you hear this, you can go to betterhelp.com/secondhandtherapy and you will get 10% off your first month. There's a link below the episode. Starting therapy, it helps. It really helps. No matter what you want to work on, give it a shot. betterhelp.com/secondhandtherapy. We love you guys.
I wrote a book, which still feels weird to say out loud. It is a collection of short stories and essays and faux journal entries, and it's, you know, all about love, grief, dating, loneliness, and all the weird ways people try to hold on to each other while they fall apart. Some of the stories are funny, some of the stories are sad, most are, you know, a blend of both. I mean, honestly, the book really isn't about love. It's more about moments. Like those awkward moments after an argument, or the drive home after a bad date, or, you know, that silence after someone says I'm fine when you know that they're lying to you. Anyways, I am offering signed copies of the book at velvettigerbooks.com. So if you've ever mistaken attention for intimacy, or referred to distance as independence, or, you know, love someone and then realize that that really wasn't the problem, then this book might be for you. And you can get a signed copy and stickers and bookmarks and all kinds of fun stuff at velvettigerbooks.com. It's available in paperback, hardback, ebook, and the audiobook is coming soon. So there's no excuse. Go check it out. VelvetTigerBooks.com.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What do you got going on?
What do I have going on? Well, before I get into therapy, I meant to tell you this in the intro.
Yeah.
I got some bad news.
Okay.
We can't use the grill we got today.
Oh, no. It was so heavy. Why?
So heavy, so hot out. It was advertised as a propane grill. It is natural gas. And we don't have a gas line in the backyard. So bad news there. That's going on. Very upsetting.
Yeah.
I was checking it out and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Anyway, I assume you're asking about therapy. What's going on?
Yeah. Let me check. Yep. That's the show.
That is the show. Well, we are working on exploring emotions more.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got into a lot of part stuff. We're still kind of exploring the feelings and how to get there, what it's like when I do have them come up and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're talking about emoting and very hypocritical moment for me. We have a very one of our early on viral clips. Is me talking to you about showing emotion.
Yeah.
And you said, I got no problem showing emotion. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
So she and I were talking about emoting. And what I have learned about myself is that I'm great at reporting my emotions. I have no problem telling you I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling angry. I'm experiencing a lot of joy. I feel really sad. But reporting them evidently is a bit different than feeling them. And who knew? Not old Lou Bear. Lou Bear didn't know. So what she was saying is when I feel something, I will report it because it kind of separates it from me. I observe it, I separate it from myself, and I can just tell you what's going on. It's like the way she put it is, it's like I'm keeping myself at arm's length.
Wow.
Real bummer. Real bummer to hear that. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever see interviews with, you know, women who have been sexually assaulted or people talking about childhood trauma, and they're just recounting it, and you're like hearing this horrific things, and you're like, they're just saying, it's like, because they're just reporting what happened. Like they've completely separated it from, and I just do that with all of my emotions, evidently.
How do you fix that?
Hey man, suicide, I think. getting comfortable with being vulnerable. Practice, time.
But in the moments that you're feeling it, are you going to have to change your mindset to feel it instead of separate it?
Yeah. And I have to, truly it's about like baby steps.
Yeah.
Like I'm only going to do it with my partner at first. Like the safest relationship I have, and I'm going to tell her. Because the easiest one for me is anger.
Yeah.
Like anger, I can emote anger, no problem. I can yell, I can swear, whatever. But so starting with anger even, because now what I've got is I'll truly go, I'm feeling really frustrated. You know how people on, I'll be like, that really pissed me off, but like I shouldn't be having this reaction to it. Man, I feel so angry about that. Instead, I get to be angry.
Oh no.
Yeah. But that comes with responsibility on my part of with my partner being like, hey, she knows I'm working on emoting more.
Yeah.
And just telling her, like, hey, none of what is about to happen is at you or about you. But I need to practice emoting and I'm angry. And then I get to be angry. And she doesn't, and she and I have talked about it. She doesn't get to be scared. She doesn't get to fix it. She doesn't get to do any of that. I don't know if she can hold up her end.
I was just gonna say, this is coming from the man who says you can't control how people feel and all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's very interesting.
Hey, you know?
Yeah, what a wild science experiment you have going on.
This wasn't my fucking idea. I'm just following instructions, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Hmm.
Yeah. So my girl has to do a lot of managing her own emotions and understanding that she's just witnessing a moment of growth. That she doesn't have to be in it with me. It's not about her at all. She has to trust me that I'm not going to lose it and tear up a room or whatever, and I have to trust her that she's not going to get scared or judge me or try to fix it.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So all this time that you've been at arm's length with yourself,
mm-hmm.
is the, I mean, obviously it's a form of protection, but are you, did you, was it subconsciously happening, or was there a switch at some point in your life that you were like, oh, I have to separate this?
I mean, it's for sure subconscious. It's not a choice I made. I hadn't thought about that. My honest answer is it happened in my last relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. My last partner, used my emotions and vulnerability against me a lot. I didn't know it at the time, but yeah, that, that relationship really changed me a lot. But not a choice I made. Subconscious, but here we are.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the different emotions that I'm able to report on.
Yeah.
Which for me, all of them. I could tell you, man, I'm feeling really sad. I'll even say I'm experiencing a lot of joy right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, is there a smile on your face when you do that? And I go, nah, probably not. You know? And she's like, how are the people around you supposed to know? To which I said, why do they need to know?
Okay.
Why do they need to know how I'm feeling? Like, what does that do for anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, honestly, clinically, I don't have an answer. She's like, it makes relationships easier. And I was like, sure. But also, people all the time pretend they're okay when they're not. So who cares? And if you can ask somebody how they're feeling, it's only as honest as they feel like being. I was like, so what does it matter? None of it matters. And then I go, how does one even know how they're feeling? Because let's say I feel frustrated. And then I go, why am I having such a big reaction to this? Now I have a feeling about the feeling.
Mm.
And what's that new one? Does anybody know how they're feeling? What's up? And then she said, you know, I really love our sessions. You're a very deep thinker. And I said, don't stroke my ego right now.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I don't believe that anybody knows what they're feeling ever.
Yeah. Hmm.
What's up, smiles? Fuck's funny over there, dude. Let's hear what you got. What do you got?
What I hear from you a lot is...
Get away.
Mistrust.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a lot of trust, not only in people, but situations. You're big on... But I think it's... I don't know if this might sound harsher than I mean it to be. I'm not trying to be, but I don't know how else to say it. I think a lot of times you hide your mistrust behind authenticity. So like being authentic. So like you'll put it on that instead of the mistrust of it. So like what you're saying is, you're asking me if I'm okay, and I'm like, yeah, I'm great. I can't trust that. Well, then what we get into a lot of times is...
Hold on, I got to stop you.
Yeah.
But I don't often feel or say I don't trust that.
No, but you think it, or you'll bring it up, or you'll combat it.
Yeah, I'll say, you don't seem okay.
or you'll say, you'll make a statement instead of a question sometimes.
Yeah, you don't seem okay as a statement.
Well, even further than that, you'll be like, no, you're not. Or you'll say, this is what's going on. Or like, you already have
yeah.
the answer before
I see what
someone gets there, or the situation is, or whatever. And what we get into a lot in conversation and on here is, maybe not a lot, but a couple times it's come up, like, how, if that is the default, this mistrust is the default, then how can you truly enjoy anything in life? Because what I constantly get from you is mistrust. Hey, these people say this is the best pizza place in town. No, it's not. Okay. Or then how can you go to that pizza shop with an open mind and think this is really good pizza, or how can you enjoy that, or whatever? Or, hey, this album just came out. It's fucking great. Everybody's, nah. Yeah. Or I'm feeling great. Like, I, you know, here's what I think is going on. No, that's not it. Here's what's going on. So how are you opening yourself up to the world if the default is not to trust the world or what's actually happening?
Well, I understand the point you're making. I don't agree that it's all of that is rooted in mistrust. Because a lot of the examples you gave is people stating their opinion as fact, and I just don't subscribe to that, and I find it annoying.
Sure.
That has nothing to do with trust.
Also, I was just trying to find random examples. I know. Like,
I understand.
Yeah.
I don't agree with you. I understand the point you're making. I don't agree that it's rooted in mistrust. And I'll tell you why if you'd like to hear.
Sure.
I think the points you're making, we'll take like recommendations and like who gives a shit, because yeah. Talking in absolutes about your opinion is stupid. If you and I, or yeah, we'll stick with you and I. You and I have a conversation. You say you're fine. I go, I don't think you are.
Mm.
I don't do that with everybody. And I think if it was rooted in mistrust, I would have an issue believing anything anybody says to me all the time, which is not how I feel. Nor do I really care enough if someone, hey, how's your day? It's good. And they look like they're going to cry. I'm not going to push it.
Yeah.
But I know you. I have context to you. I have context to what happened to you yesterday. I have context to what you've been doing this morning. So challenging you in those places, even for me, is not in mistrust. It's in, you don't have to lie. If something's not okay, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't trust you. It's that it's more so calling you out on don't perform for me.
Yeah, but I often feel like you think everybody's performing.
I do. I think on some level, everybody's performing. I don't care about most of them.
Here's where performance comes in for you, though. Showing emotion, then, do you feel like that's performing?
Generally, no.
So instead of saying, I feel happy right now,
mm-hmm.
if you just smiled, that would be, is that performative for you? And that's why you have to state it instead?
Not consciously.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I also often smile when I'm not experiencing joy. So for me, it's like I could be having the worst day ever and then have like a dumb thought in my head and like smile or give like a little half chuckle. That doesn't mean I'm experiencing joy. It means I'm having the worst day ever and I just had a funny, decrepit thought.
Yeah.
So not really.
I'm just trying to figure out the disconnect between showing emotion and stating it.
Same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because even, I mean, this just happened between you and I last month when you were went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, I told you I was in pain.
Well, that's not an emotion. That was physical pain. But yeah.
Yeah, but you're not showing anything. You're just saying, I feel pain right now. Or I feel bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. But, and I think that's what maybe your therapist was getting at. Like, those are the moments that it's important to show those things, and it's easier to communicate with others. Yeah.
I got a problem with what you just said.
Okay.
I don't like that you saying, I think this is what your therapist was doing. I think that is, I think it's unfair. And I think it's also a little irresponsible.
Okay.
Being that you don't know her, you weren't in the session. Like, it seems like a stretch.
Okay. Would you rather me say it like, what I gather from what she was saying, this is what makes sense to me?
Yeah. You don't see a difference?
I don't see a difference.
And I think this is what your therapist was doing, and this is my opinion?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying when I'm saying that. To me, that's what I'm saying. I'm not making a statement of like, I know your therapist and this is what she's doing. I'm saying, oh, that's what I gathered from what you told me. That's what I gather. And that's the, here's what I think that means from what she said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird one. I was like, how can you speak for my therapist? That is the level of ridiculousness on that.
Yeah, I was just sharing a thought of piggybacking on her thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
Didn't sound that way.
Sorry.
I think you have to apologize. I'm just saying, I didn't like that. Like,
okay.
Yeah. And that's also, you and I, we talk about this all the time, the difference of like,
yeah,
I'm very intentional when I talk and you're not.
Yeah.
And that just is what it is.
Yeah.
So we were talking about like an instance of like, when did I feel joy recently? And it was, my girl and I were in California. They were throwing a surprise party for her dad. I really enjoy spending time with her family. And I have some guilt that sometimes I even think I like it more than spending time with my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's like, okay, let's say you were to communicate this joy, not like I'm experiencing joy, that you were to communicate the joy and also the guilt and the set, whatever comes from it. Like, you're going to emote these.
Mm.
Couldn't do it. So I was like, okay, let me report it first. Let me report it first so I can get it out, and then I'll try. So I go, okay, so in this instance, I would be talking to my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I would say something along the report would be, I spend a lot of time with my partners. I just sneeze. I spend a lot of time with my partner's family, and I experience a lot of joy. But afterwards, I felt sad because one of the things I really enjoy about her family is how close her and her sisters are.
Mm.
And I feel like you don't have any desire to have that kind of relationship with me. And I'm sad that we're not close. I'm sad that we're not connected. And I feel guilty that I like spending time with them because their family feels like a family. And I feel like I don't fit a lot of the time with you. And I also experienced a lot of joy with them because I've always felt very accepted by them and very welcomed. And I can tell that they put effort and intention into doing what they can so that I feel that way.
Yeah.
And I don't recall a time feeling like you've done that for anybody that was important to me. And then my therapist said, okay, so I thought we were going to talk about it with your partner, and you just really cannonballed into the deep end there.
Yeah.
She's like, let's try to get in the kiddie pool. What if you were just to tell your partner you enjoyed spending time with her family? And I was like, oh, she's like, yeah, you swan dive kind of into the deep end on that one.
Yeah. That was like, a big swing.
I was like, so what are we doing here? She's like, we have to get in the kiddie pool. We're not even in there yet. And I was like, oh, all right. She's like, so how would you tell your partner that you had a great time with her family? And I was like, I would say, I had a good time with your family. I enjoy seeing you and your sisters and like the relationship you have. It's really nice. She's like, and that sounds joyous to you? And I go, hey, I don't have another way of communicating that, because anything further than that, I feel like I'm acting. And I was like, I don't, like, it's just acting. Like, it feels like I'm doing a scene or like being this bubbly person that I'm not. It feels very performative. And she said, do you think it's performative or do you think it's just uncomfortable? Hello, my little bear cub. I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you would like ad-free episodes and other bonus content, please head on over to patreon.com/secondhandtherapypod. Okay, love you. Bye. And we know that. Jesus.
That's a bear.
It's not.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.